Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to another episode of You Create Change Radio. It is episode 11, and we're going to be talking about the hustle. Thank everybody for listening in today. I'm your host, Keith Lynn, of course, my co-host,
Bree Lee.
Hello, hello, hello. We are here today, and we're very excited. How about you feeling today, Bree?
I'm doing very, very well. Thank you.
We have a special guest tonight on our show today, and I think you guys are absolutely going to love her. I'm not going to go too much into her right now because I want to leave the suspense keep it going. So like always, it'll be start off. I'd like to give you a recap of what we talked about last week, Bree.
Yeah, so last week was episode 10, and if you missed it, I always highly suggest that you go back and check it out on our archive page. And we talked about anger, and we basically just talked about what was it, where did it come from, and how to control it. And I think we came to the conclusion that it's already in us and that we don't control anger. It's just about how we release it.
Yeah, we don't really control it, but we can control where we put it.
Yes.
Where we trash it. I like to use the example of trash. Use like trash. Put it where it's supposed to go. It's going to stink up the whole house, you know?
Exactly.
You don't want to be throwing your trash on everybody. So remember that. Awesome, awesome. Well, today, it's not about that. Today, it is about the hustle, man. And I love it because, you know, it sounds strong, and a lot of people, you know, think they're hustling, and we want to get to that. We want to talk about what it really means to hustle, or what it means to understand the hustle. So the question of the week, Bree?
Question of the week is, can a hustler mentality be learned?
Can a hustler mentality be learned? Or I like to say, can you develop a hustler mentality? And I believe you can. I've met a lot of people who say that, you know, kids, I'm not that ambitious. I'm not a hustler. I don't have the drive. I don't have the energy to do so. Well, you can develop that. Mm-hmm. Well, not a lot of people with fat until they start running. It's like cardio.
Yeah.
You know, the more you do it, the better you get, the more win you get. And I like to think of it as a process. Becoming a hustler, when I say hustler, I don't want people to think we're talking about drugs or, no, that's just, we're not talking about that.
We're talking about them dream hustlers, right?
Yeah, you know, talking about the people who have ambition and people who don't stop and the people who keep going, have a dream that they're not going to give up on. Those are hustlers I'm talking about.
Right.
Not that we have one on the line today. We can get to that a little bit later. But the hustler, developing a hustler mentality is a process, in my opinion. I believe that it's just comes down to developing an ambition for something.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone wants something out of life.
I totally agree, and we do want something out of life. However, sometimes we settle. So that hustler mentality, like you said, some people come to you and say that they don't have that hustler mentality. Well, it's because they've settled already, you know.
I like to say, when you stop searching, you start to settle.
Yeah.
So I believe that. And just make it small at the beginning. Just like just develop an ambition for something specific. Some people, they just develop the ambition for money, and that makes them hustle. Some people develop an ambition for a new house. That makes them get to work. Or some people just simply their family. They don't want to see their family struggle, or they have family members who need help, and it just drives them.
Mm-hmm.
But develop an ambition for something, whether it's kids who need help, whether it's, you know, people in Africa who need help, you know, or relief, or military soldiers who've been hurt. Everyone develops this kind of ambition for something. That's where it starts. And after that, just create a vision for the end result. But you kind of talked about this. You gave me that idea about creating a vision. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. When you have a vision, it just gets you excited. I mean, that is literally the gas, the ammo. That is what's going to push you, because the hustle is not a destination. It's not a just overnight type of a thing.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, if you have a vision of the end result of, like, where you really want to be, well, then it's going to continue to push you to make sure that you hit that mark.
And also, you know when you get there.
Yeah.
Like, this is the vision I have, yeah. And now I'm here. I'm still hustling. I may be creating a new vision, or this process may just start all over.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I want to clarify when I say that it's not a destination. I'm saying that it's not a place that you can just pick up and just go right now.
Right.
It's a process, like you said.
Yeah, definitely a process. And ultimately, part of the process, decide what means or avenue that will fit your current lifestyle in order to pursue the next. Now, I'm going to try to break that down because it's a lot of words smushed together. It may not make sense. But decide what means or avenue that fit your current lifestyle in order to pursue the next.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that what I'm saying is, if you don't have $1 million network, you can't start $1 million hustle. You know, you know, and you can't maintain $1 million hustle.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, find something within your means you can start. I heard somebody say, "Don't bite off more than you can chew." Essentially.
You know, my mama just told me that today. Wow.
Yeah. And when that happens, you lose the hustler's mentality.
Yeah.
Because you get discouraged.
You put too much on yourself.
You put too much on your plate. And when you're first starting, it's like a paper plate.
Yeah.
You put too much on it, it's going to break, it's going to bend, it's going to wait to develop a stronger plate when you get that good glass, that good china,
uh-huh.
You know, and then you can fill it up a little bit more with heavier stuff. And I'm glad that you're talking about plates and food because it's going to be interesting today. But, yeah, you know, just find something that fits you right now. You don't have to start with the big business. You don't have to start with, you know, I'm going to open up, you know, thousands of restaurants. Or I want to open up a McDonald's, but, you know, you're making minimum wage right now. That probably won't work. It's going to take a build up. But once again, decide what means or avenue that fits your current lifestyle in order to pursue the next one.
Yeah, it's levels to this, right?
It's a stepping stone. One step at a time. You'll get there. And a question you got to ask yourself throughout this process is, are you hustling forward or are you hustling backwards?
Ooh.
Because everybody's hustling.
Okay.
Everyone's doing, for the most part, everyone's doing something.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's trying to make ends meet. Everyone's trying to create a life for themselves. Everyone's trying to maintain life.
Uh-huh.
But so everyone's kind of hustling, but are you hustling forward or are you hustling backwards?
Yeah. And I think hustling forward is a little bit more scarier. It's harder because it's the unknown. Because when you're hustling backwards, all right, well, I've been here before.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Exactly. You've been there before. It becomes too familiar or mundane, I like to say.
Mm-hmm.
When you're hustling backwards, things become mundane.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually kind of wrote that right here. I said, you know, hustling forward is establishing a system or a duplicatable process that will move you forward economically, spiritually, or socially in an attempt to create, you know, a new and improved basic standard of living.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times it's not just money. Sometimes it is spiritually. Sometimes it is for the family. Sometimes it is socially, based on whatever you're going for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, social media is so, you know, so prominent. That is now, and you can hustle on social media. You can get your hustle on.
Yeah.
It is a hustle.
It is.
It's definitely a hustle on social media. You know, having a certain amount of followers, likes, so on and so forth, that has now become a standard of progress.
And on top of that, it keeps changing. Every minute is different on social media.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, how do you know if you're hustling forward? Are you investing time? Are you investing money? And are you investing energy? If you're doing one of those three things, you're making an attempt or you're hustling forward. You're investing time, you're investing money, and you're investing energy.
Okay, but let me ask you this, though, because there's a lot of people investing time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people investing energy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people are necessarily investing money more than spending money,
mm-hmm.
but the investing time and the investing energy, I guess it would all just be spending time, spending energy, and spending money when you're hustling backwards. And then investing money, investing energy, and investing time when you're hustling forward. And what I mean by that is when you spend something, you're not getting anything in return.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you do get something in return, but it's nothing of value, right? When you invest into something, that's when you're going to get something valuable in return that's going to actually bring you more than what you put into it.
Well, it all depends. Some people, well, I guess so, because some people invest in a car. But I guess you're right. You may get more out of it than what you put into it. But it's all based, I guess, it's subjective for the person.
Okay, but do you really invest into a car? Because isn't a car a liability, which is something that depreciates?
It could be. Or some people, well, according to the value of society.
Correct.
But if the person loves this 67 Camaro, it never is going to lose value with them. Maybe economically it may lose value, and that's why I said sometimes it's not economic. Sometimes it is social, or sometimes there is a spiritual aspect of the hustle.
Okay.
The spiritual hustle.
Okay, so then if you're spending time with people that aren't necessarily uplifting you or, you know, that aren't really about anything. They're just about Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's it. Nothing else.
And now you're not investing. But that's why they say invest time.
Right.
Well, it's considering investment. And I personally believe everything you do, you invest in. It's just too often. You're either investing in someone else or you're investing in yourself.
Okay.
Because every time you trade money, you're either investing in someone else's business, investing in your business. Every time you spend time, you're investing time in someone else or you're losing time. essentially. Okay. You know, so that's kind of the same thing. But you know what I mean.
Right.
And hustling backwards, I look at it as relying on another person or another entity or another force to provide or control your social or economic level of life. And I just put that as kind of like not investing.
Yeah.
Or not getting nothing in return that is of greater value.
Because you don't take it into your own hands. You're constantly hoping somebody else does. Somebody else will come by and pick up the pieces. I mean,
exactly.
That's what I took from what you just said.
It's kind of like either making your food or buying your food.
Wow. Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. It's either you're growing your food or you're going to allow somebody else to fry it up for
there
you.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's the best example
right.
of it. And obviously people know if you make your own food at home, you save a lot more money, you're better economically, you're better. But if you're buying food consistently, you're economically worse. So it's kind of like you can use that as a metaphor if you would like. But let's look at the requirements for what it means to be a hustler. You know, what does it take? Well, it takes a lot of patience. Patience. It's going to take time. So don't get discouraged if you're not successful in a week's time. A hustler knows that. Having the hustler mentality knows that it's going to require a lot of patience. It also requires dedication. And what is that dedication? I mean, what does that mean? We kind of know what it means, but it requires consistency and to gain the ability to keep going when you are bombarded with life distractions.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to come up. Other bills are going to come up. And a lot of that stuff can derail you.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been there. It can throw you off track. You lose focus. I've lost focus before. I've missed dates.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes inconsistent. And that happens with a lot of people. Could you imagine if you tried to open up a restaurant and, you know, you were open. You're supposed to be open every day, but then there's, you know, you just, one day you just don't feel like, or you don't tell nobody. And you consistently, you know, all of a sudden you don't have any open or close hours. No one knows when you're open or not.
Yeah.
That is where dedication comes in, to say, I'm going to be here at this time. I'm going to do this on this day consistently.
Even if I don't feel like
even
it.
Even if I don't feel like it.
Uh-huh.
That's dedication.
Yeah.
And then third, it requires, you know, the understanding of what an obligation is. There's going to be obligations when you're getting your hustle on. There's going to be things that you don't want to do. There are parts of the hustle that you're not going to like and that you don't want to do, period. And times in which you just don't feel like dealing with it, you got to hold yourself responsible and still get it done.
Mm-hmm.
It's called an obligation. It's like brushing your teeth. It's like showering. It's like picking up your kids from school. It's like doing whatever. It's for people who go to the gym a lot of times it's an obligation. You don't feel like going, but you go because you understand the result on the end. So there's going to be a lot of obligations in the hustle. And understand that. Accept it, and then you'll be able to, I think, prevail through it, personally.
Absolutely. It's just one step at a time.
One step at a time. And there are different hustles. You know, there's the single mom, definitely a hustler. I understand
yeah.
that. Single, even stay-at-home mom.
Uh-huh.
The big-time hustle. There's a student. If you've ever been to school, I've done it, and it's a major hustle getting through those classes. The 9-to-5er, they're hustling. I know the people, it's the same thing. It requires patience with the boss, dedication to get there at 9 o'clock every day, and obligation. Most people don't want to be there. They
right.
don't want to do the work.
Right.
So it's business owner, of course. It's all kind of things going on within business when you're trying to run a business, open a business, keep a business running, maintain a business, and make sure the business doesn't fail. It takes a lot of patience, dedication, and understanding what obligation is, and et cetera, other things that people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, there are three different types, in my personal opinion, that I follow. There's your main hustle. Everybody got a main hustle going on,
mm-hmm.
right? The number one thing that they're doing, it usually involves the primary source of income or lifestyle maintenance.
Okay.
Primary source of income or what keeps your life together. You need a main hustle.
Yeah.
You have to have a main hustle. You may not even enjoy your main hustle. But it's something that you've got to do to keep up a certain level of life. And then, of course, there's your side hustle. I believe everyone should have a side hustle.
Uh-huh.
Most people I meet are either looking for a side hustle or got one going on, right? For something else. Some people just a second job, whatever the case may be. But it's that supplementary income that you're looking for, something, you know, to supplement, to keep going. Or it could be an organizational obligation, whether you're part of a group. You could be a part of a fraternity. You could be a part of a book club. You can be a part of, you know, a community organization. Those are hustles, too.
So secondary hustle is still something that's continuing to help you move forward.
Exactly.
Right.
It's helping you move forward. There is a goal behind it.
Okay.
You know, it's a progressive movement.
Okay.
And sometimes it takes a group of people. So that's why I said organizational obligations, of course. And then you got the everybody got the sometimes hustle. Everybody got that sometimes hustle. When those opportunities come out of nowhere, those inconsistent opportunities, you know, it's a deal right now on it, and you can make a move and possibly make some money, or you know, advance your life in some kind of way, whether it's a deal on the gym or you, whatever the case is, it's an occasional opportunity that comes your way, and it's those deals you can't beat, and it's an opportunity for you to improve your life, either financially, economically, spiritually, or just socially. And those come as well.
And that's interesting because those three different types of hustles, it's like once you get down the main hustle, once you understand the concept, you can kind of move it around and use it for other things. So
absolutely.
It'll just come, you know, naturally.
Naturally. So those are called progressive hustles, and I would call those life improvements. Mm. It's simple. What are you doing to improve your life?
Yeah.
And it's a hustle to do so. So I would love to talk about this more, but of course, it's here You Create Change. It's about the people that we're featuring. And this week, we're featuring somebody amazing. I'm actually going to let Bree go ahead and introduce her because she has better introduction and edification skills than I do. So please, Bree.
Yeah, if you know anything about me, y'all know that when I moved to California, I needed to find something that was going to allow me to hustle and make some money because it's hard to live in California, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you right now, this woman that is getting ready to come live, she is so near and dear to my heart. She is a true hustler. So this is actually perfect for the week because I got to see her hands down, watch her work from a food truck to her own brick and mortar, from farmers markets, from national television shows, all of this. It's amazing, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear her story and her testimony. Without further ado, the owner of Macalicious, Miss Kelly Chapman.
Hey there. I'm here.
Hey,
it's exciting to be a part of your show, and, wow, I love the nuggets that you are sharing. Awesome.
Thank you so much for joining us today here at You Create Change Radio. It's really a pleasure. I mean, we couldn't do this without you being on today and helping us throughout this week. So thank you so much.
It's certainly my pleasure. And Bree, that just brings tears to my eyes to just hear your words because you just never know how you impact people in life, whether they work for you or whether they're friends or strangers. You just never know the impact you have on people. So I'm just grateful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I've got a couple questions for you, Kelly, and I'm excited to ask them. I think that for our listeners, they're going to be really excited to hear this because it's a real story, and it's a valid and it's a tangible story. So you are the owner of a restaurant now called Macalicious, and I would love to know how did you get started in just cooking and what led to you opening up your own restaurant?
So, sure, I've been making mac and cheese since I was in high school. My grandmother has a recipe and my mom had a recipe and so they taught me very early on how to make it. And no matter where I went, whether I was at school in Atlanta going to Spelman or coming back home to Case Western Reserve University, I always looked forward to either having my family's mac and cheese or making it myself. And as time progressed and I went out into corporate America and just did other things with my life, I would always make mac and cheese for different events and, you know, office parties. And no matter what, people would always say, who made the mac and cheese? So there could be a spread of, you name it. But for some reason, everybody was always asking who made the mac and cheese. And so I knew I had something at that point. But what really hit home was when I was at my stepmother's repast. And there was tons of food, and I put the mac and cheese out, and people were walking around the repast saying, okay, who made the mac and cheese? And I thought, man, this is an interesting question right now. And at that point, I said, okay, I really have something. And then I started cooking for Thanksgiving dinners, and people would bring Tupperware and just would take it home. And I started to think, you know, if I ever leave corporate America and I just want to do something where I feel like I know I'll be successful. I love my mac and cheese, and it seems like other people do. So about 10 years ago, I started to think about, in my hometown of Cleveland, opening up a little takeout mac and cheese restaurant across from Cleveland Heights High School. Well, that never happened. I went on into continued in corporate America, and at a certain point, I had to make a decision for myself around my values, whether or not I wanted to stay in corporate America or whether or not I wanted to go on my own. And I realized that my values and my passion, was those things were not aligning with my continuing to stay in corporate America. And so I even had to make the decision around money. Am I chasing money or am I chasing other things? And I knew for me, I've had tons of money. I've had, you know, net worth that, you know, at one point in time was probably in the top 10%. And, you know, that actually didn't create my happiness. You know, it created security, but it didn't create my happiness. And so I realized that I had to chase what was most important to me, which was making a difference in the world and leaving a legacy. And that can be with money or it can be with your time or your talent. And I felt that starting my own business where I would have a lot more control over all of those things would allow me to do that. And to be honest, in many ways it has. To be able to have a restaurant now where I can literally say, okay, we're going to shut down and all we're going to do is feed the homeless today. I mean, to be able to be in that situation where I can make that decision, it has really been such a, for me, just it just makes me feel good at night. And to be in a situation where we can say, even when before I had the brick and mortar, but I had the food truck, and we could say the proceeds from the sale of the food truck go to the Kelly Chapman Ministries Mobile Pantry, where since 2012 we've now fed over 20,000 low-income individuals. To be in that situation where I have a direct connection to feeding people who are hungry, that for me is worth more than any amount of money that you could put in my pocket. So wow. I've decided, me, I'm grateful, and I just walk in gratefulness. And I'm grateful for every day that I can have my lights on, every day that I have a car to drive and gas to put in the car. I'm grateful for every day that a customer comes in and is excited and tastes the mac and cheese and is like, oh, my God, it's the best thing I've ever had. But at the same token, they might be having a bad day, and I end up talking to them, and I end up encouraging them, or who knows, even praying for them. That's happened. So to be able to have those experiences with people where I don't have to wear a mask, I don't have to be politically correct, I can do what I feel is important aligned with my passion, that to me is priceless. And so when I think about hustling, been hustling all my life, and we can certainly talk about that at some point, but now I'm hustling in pursuit of leaving a greater legacy.
Wow. And, you know, something we didn't talk about, which you kind of mentioned, you know, you said that you were in corporate America with so much security, and a lot of people value security more than their own dreams. And so I got to ask, because this is probably what a lot of people are thinking right now, like, where did she get, you know, the chutzpah or the guts, should I say, to just leave and chase her dream? Like, what came to you? Like, was there a vision? Was you in church? What happened?
Well, you know, I do go to church, and, you know, in my quiet time, with God, he definitely speaks to me. There was a point where I was kind of ill. I had fibroids, and I had to have fibroid surgery. And at that point in time, I was going through the process of leaving corporate America. And everyone around me was so nervous. But one of the things I did as I was recovering, and I had a really tough recovery, was I did a gratefulness walk every morning. And so I would just walk. At first, when it was just me getting down the stairs, I was grateful for getting down the stairs. Then when it was me coming out of the door and getting to the end of the driveway, I was speaking about how grateful I was for that. And then it ended up me being able to walk through the neighborhood. So I would walk through the neighborhood every single morning for 8 weeks, just being grateful. And as I was grateful, I started to hear God talking to me about how he would provide, no matter what I wanted to do, whether I wanted to continue my corporate path, if I wanted to go out on my own, how he would provide. And so I walked away, literally, I came off of my fibroid surgery, literally went off the payroll like the next day. And within 90 days, I had so much money from an entrepreneurial venture that I was doing, that I was able to be debt-free.
Wow.
And for another year, I was able to continue to work in my own business But at the same, but it still was serving corporate America. And I just realized, you know, even doing that for 12 months, the purpose in that was maybe for me to be debt-free and maybe for me to, you know, set up my mobile pantry and do some other things. So that was a great purpose. But at the end of that 12-month cycle, I was still in that place of I knew God would provide. And I knew that whether I was, when I was 9 and 10 years old, when I was on the street hustling, selling hot dogs on a stick or ice cream or lemonade, or desserts, or hustling, delivering papers, or hustling at Bob's Big Boy and working three jobs, working Bob's Big Boy, then going to Davy Jones Locker or Merry-Go-Round and selling clothes and being the top salesperson there, and then going to Master Pizza to be a waitress till midnight and making money there off of my tips, doing three jobs while going to school and paying for my own prom dress and paying for my own prom and paying for things myself, getting my car myself when I was in college. All those things, I knew that I would be okay. And so it's just this comfort and this peace that I knew no matter what, I would be okay. And even if I didn't make the same amount of money that I made in corporate America, it wasn't about the money. It was about the peace of mind, knowing that the things I was doing were impacting others' lives.
Wow. I hope that people heard that, because it's relevant to a point we made today. She had a main hustle. If you guys listen right now, she had a main hustle. Her corporate job, but she said she had an entrepreneurial venture that she was, which is called the side hustle, and that allowed her to be debt free. I think that is absolutely amazing, and I would love for people to know where to find you. What can they look you up at online? What can they, if you can shout out your address, I know it's another title word, but people listening, what can they follow you on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram? How do they find you?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, if you like mac and cheese and you are interested in that, you can follow me at Macalicious Fan on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But Macalicious Fan, if you have interest in my journey, you're welcome to follow me at The Kelly Diaries on Instagram and Twitter. I'm also at Kelly Chapman Music on Facebook. And I share a lot about my journey, which is there's a lot of layers to it. We've really scratched the surface in terms of the layers of my journey, but you can get a lot of it there.
And also, she shared with us, if you go into Macalicious, and I don't have the address, do you mind telling our listeners the address to your restaurant?
Absolutely. We're located in Valley Village, which is right near North Hollywood. The address is 5217 Laurel Canyon Boulevard. We're right behind Bank of America. If you know where Wiener Schnitzel is, we're right over there. And by the way, if you mention You Create Change, we'll give you 10% off.
Can't beat that. You Create Change listeners and followers, 10% off at Macalicious. How can you be mad about that? Oh, my God. And for those of you who don't make the same mistake I did, they're closed Sunday and Monday. I tried to go there today, and they was closed. So, so
we're closed on Monday.
You go on Sunday and Monday.
Just Monday.
Sunday.
Oh, sorry,
just Monday.
Yeah. We're open on Sundays. You can come by for brunch or after service or just anytime up until 5 o'clock on Sundays. But we're closed on Monday. That is my day to exhale, to breathe, to go to the beach. And to rest and rejuvenate. As much as you can hustle out here, you still need to find balance. And so I made the decision that my balance is Mondays. And I would also encourage those who are artists or who have talents to come visit us this Friday. We're doing Mac and Mike Night. And I'll be singing. And there'll be a lot of other people singing and comedians and all of that. It'll be 7 o'clock on Friday, 5217 Laurel Canyon.
Thank you so much, Kelly. I appreciate your time. You've been a blessing to us. Kelly Chapman, everyone. Thank you so much. Kelly Chapman, You Create Change on Macalicious. Next week we have coming up, we'll be talking about failure. And we actually have a great guest coming on next week. Bree, can you help us out real quick?
Next week we have the power duo, Chris and Drea. And what they are doing is they're called the Front Runners. They are songwriters and vocal production company. You guys are going to want to be a part of this. They have been doing the game in the music industry for quite some time now.
There you have it, the Front Runners, next week talking about failure. Thanks, everyone, for listening, especially thank Kelly Chapman for joining us today. Here at You Create Change, here we embrace the difference. Happy Monday. See you next week.